Hello, Julie.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
Good. You have a Walking Dead picture as your profile picture.
Yeah, that's my son. He's a huge Daryl
Daryl.
fan.
I don't know. I don't. I've never watched. I've never watched one episode of Walking Dead. Have you?
I have watched pretty much all the episodes of Walking Dead.
Wow. The very first one I saw, I think it might have been the very first episode, a good friend of mine told me, "Oh, you gotta watch it. It's so amazing." And the first scene was when the sheriff shot a little girl holding a teddy bear or something in the head, and I thought, "No, I can't do this."
Hey, that wasn't a human girl.
No, I know. I know. But still, anyway. I pretend to be so sensitive, but I'm not. I can watch pretty incredibly violent movies, but I don't know. I never got into the groove. Maybe I will. Anyway, how are you?
How are you?
I'm good. You know we're being recorded.
I figured that
Yep.
for quality assurance.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. So are you a happy customer? No, I'm just kidding.
Yes, I am.
What's new in your life?
I have had pretty bad allergies lately. I don't know if that's new. It's new-ish. But we've been in the middle of buying a house, so that's keeping us busy.
Right.
I had a glass of water here, and the dog just drank it all.
Well, nothing like sharing. What are you allergic to? New houses?
No, it's just that time of year where the pollen count is really high.
Right.
And I would say higher than usual this year because I don't usually get quite this bad. But
It's funny, I used to have really bad allergies, and I don't anymore.
that's good.
Yeah, no, I used to be really, really bad. So, almost to the point where I was going to have to go get shots and stuff, but I don't know, something happened. I think I got saved and it all went away.
That's probably it. I mean, what did you give up to in order to earn that?
I really don't know. I'd
Sounds like
heard
you made a
theory.
deal.
Yeah, we're tight. No. I've read and heard that your body goes through a transformation every 7 years, but it's not sudden. All of a sudden, in 7 years, you get a new body, but it's gradual over the 7 years. But I don't know. I just they went away. So, and I haven't changed locations or anything. So, I have no idea why. But it was. I'm glad because it's a miserable way to live.
Yeah, I'm usually not. I have seasonal allergies. They're not like constant or anything.
Yeah.
So, and moving down here, it's when I first moved to Delaware, they were really bad. When I went back to Canada, they were bad again. So it's more of an adjustment period, probably. But enough of allergies. So boring.
How are things down there in Tennessee?
Well, they're pretty good. There's a lot of Trump supporters.
Awesome.
They're great people.
Well,
No,
yeah,
wait,
I
actually, some of them are great people. It's just very awkward down here. I just opt out of politics and say, I'm Canadian.
I know Trump supporters because they're my own family, my mom and dad and so on. They think he's awesome. So I just sort of when I go to visit them, which I have a few times recently because of situations, but I just I love them and everything. I don't know. I just sit there kind of baffled, just because of some of the I don't know what to say. I just work. I'm speechless. I just don't know.
Well, American politics can do that to
Yeah,
you.
but I'm married to an American, so you're a
Me too.
Canadian. You're a Canadian married to an American, and so am I. And Lisa's she's from way down south in backwoods Alabama. And, you know, her whole family would be Trump supporters as well. And, but she's not. She's kind of baffled by the whole thing as well, so.
Well, she's been in Canada for quite a while.
Yeah.
I find Canada has an effect on people if they stay around for a while.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot
Except
of people.
For those Canadians who wish they were Americans, like probably my parents and your parents.
Yeah. Well, my kids are dual, too, so. But they, none of them want to. Although, our oldest is living in California right now, and he loves it.
It's nice to have that option.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, there's some great things about the U.S. besides politics.
Mm-hmm.
So, I used to listen to Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and Glenn Beck and all those guys. That's how different I am now. Do you know who all those guys are?
Oh, yeah.
Conservative Republican talk radio.
Yep. Yep.
So I can't listen to that anymore for some reason.
Well, for some reason, you know why. Because you're a heretic now.
Yeah, I guess so.
You're a liberal.
I switched to NPR.
Yeah. I wish we could get NPR up here.
Can you get it on the internet?
I might be able to. I've tried and it says, we're sorry, but this is not available in your country or whatever. But I think if I used a Hola blocker might work. I don't know.
Or even podcasts.
Yes, true.
You probably can't get it live, but I know This American Life used to be on iTunes.
Oh, well, there you go. There you go.
There's probably others.
Hey, so you're near Nashville.
Yep.
And you're trying to build a music career?
Yeah, somewhat.
Oh, come on now.
I'm just songwriting mostly, and I play out there a bit.
Yeah.
Which for me is a big deal. So.
Yeah. That's not something you can be half-hearted about, though, is it?
Well,
don't you have to kind of sign your soul over to make it in the music industry?
Well, I mean, I'm not trying to be a big star or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So, really, in Nashville, it's more about relationships than anything else, networking and relationships. So you meet people, they like you and you like them, and you see them every once in a while. If they get a little success, a little might rub off on you. That's kind of usually... It'll be a little different for me because I didn't come here when I was young. I have a family and it's taking longer to do that because I have less time. But usually groups of people succeed at around the same time. So they're usually people who arrived in Nashville around the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And then they kind of go through that process as a group somewhat. It's kind of interesting. The songwriting community is a little different than the artist community, I've heard as well.
Yeah.
So, and there's a little overlap there, but
no, totally. It's it's the same up here, like in New Brunswick, you know, Eastern Canada, which is kind of out there in the boonies. You know, I know some musicians, and it's all about who you know. Yeah, I mean, you need talent, obviously, but
and you can't get away with being a huge jerk, generally speaking.
No. But, you know Mike Bigger, you've heard of him. He's a local musician here, and he travels all around. He's been nominated for the East Coast Music Awards and, you know, so on and so forth. And, you know, he and I meet for coffee now and then, and, you know, he's written some material, and then there's some people who, you know, he knows in Nashville and some other, and then he gets connected to other singer-songwriters or whatever, and... They say, oh yeah, that's a great song. Let me see what I can do with it. And then, you know, it's forgotten for a long time and he feels awkward. Like, hey, what about my song? Cause you don't want to sound like you're begging and needy and all that kind of thing. It's just so, oh.
Yeah. There's a lot of etiquette involved in all of that.
And, totally.
And I'm not good at any of that. So I'm kind of like, I'm a little different. I'm not pursuing being a star, but I'm also not pursuing being a hit songwriter, really.
Mm-hmm.
And, not that it doesn't happen to some people, kind of accidentally. But I'm more of a singer-songwriter. Mm-hmm. So my realm would be, hey, get some stuff recorded and try to place it in film, TV, commercials, stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
So, so some of the rules don't apply to me that apply to other areas of songwriting, which is interesting because Nashville has been traditionally more country.
Right.
But in the past few years, it's changing a lot because no one can afford to live in LA or New York anymore. So Nashville's growing like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's there's good things about it and bad things about it. But since I'm not from here, I can't really complain.
Yeah. Yeah. So, by the way, TLSers, we're talking with Julianne Morris, member of the Lasting Supper. I think I just called you Julie, but just to make that clear. Who used to, she was in Canada, not far from here, and we've been friends for quite a while, and we talk on the phone now and then. So you grew up pretty fundamentalist, conservative, traditional, orthodox, Pentecostal, didn't you?
Actually, it was Wesleyan. So my husband always says it's Pentecostal without the tongues.
That's right.
It's like the same theology, but not charismatic.
That's
exactly,
right.
You know.
Yeah. Although, you know, Kings Valley Wesleyan, well, they're going just Kings Wesleyan now, which is the biggest, well, maybe not the biggest, but one of the biggest Wesleyan churches in the Maritime here locally. Mm-hmm. They've changed their name to Kings Wesleyan, but they're doing kind of vineyardy worship songs now.
Yeah, some of the bigger... I mean, there's definitely churches that are doing more modern things. They're not as closed as a, you know, as far they even allow female preachers, and they have always, as far as I know, in the history.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But they were extremely conservative. The roots, the holiness movement, mm-hmm. So they had, you know, dress codes and no jewelry, no makeup. That kind of thing is in their past. But also, we grew up hearing stories at church camp of, you know, people running around the sanctuary waving their hankies, and so they weren't always calm either.
No. Calm the beep down.
you get a kind of a huge, diverse mix.
Yeah. So, what happened to you?
Yeah,
that
Aaron was a pastor for 1 year as a Muslim pastor.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So, is... What began your departure from all that?
Well, the reason why we only were there, you know, in the ministry for 1 year.
You said that funny. Sounded like you covered your mouth. The reason we were in the ministry.
My dad was a Wesleyan pastor, too, when I was growing up.
Oh.
And then he kind of quit at one point because the toll it was taking on our family.
Wow.
So, and I went to Bible college where we met.
Mm-hmm.
And then we decided, we had been friends with a church. He was a pastor of Fredericton. So we were friends with some people from the church and the pastor in town that had split off a Baptist church because of the Toronto...
Blessing. Yeah.
And then they made connections to people in England from another group of churches that started coming over.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, you do.
The Elvis impersonator guy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's him. So Mike. Anyway, so we were hanging out with them and going to these special meetings they were having on the side, you know, kind of on the sly.
Yeah.
And we just decided to, actually, one of the guys from those churches, the pastors that came over, we were over for dinner and they had them over. And they kind of, and his wife kind of took me under her wing a little too.
Mm-hmm.
And so he just basically looked at Aaron and said, you need to leave that church or you're going to die, which was very true.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to stay either. In fact, I refused to become a member of the church where he was a pastor.
That must have gone over well. Yeah.
Yeah, I got some talks from the pastor's wife. I said, I'm sorry, but I said, if Jesus can't be a member of your church, I don't want to.
Oh, you didn't say
that.
Well,
I mean, they had these rules about alcohol. And all So I wouldn't say, well, they're like, it doesn't matter. You can say, I'm like, it matters to me.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
If Jesus can't be a member of your church,
I've never been good at not saying what I think.
No, I know. I've gathered that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I wasn't going to last in that environment.
No, it was written on the wall.
So we left the Wesleyan Church and had a brief stint with the Independent Charismatic Church in town. And they promised to pay us, and then they never did. So mm-hmm. we ended up leaving because Aaron couldn't work outside of the church because he was American.
Right.
So he basically had a volunteer status. And I had 1 year of Bible college, so I had like a part-time job that wasn't a whole lot of financial help.
Mm-hmm.
So we ended up going back to the States and joining a cult instead. And that was fun, you know?
Well, okay, what? You've told me this before, but I can't remember this cult. What was that about?
Well, they had connections to the church in England.
Yeah. I know.
So they recommended that church to us.
Yeah.
And,
you know, it's kind of like the whole John Paul Jackson thing and the Kansas City Prophets and the Renewal Movement and all that. There were a lot of cultic kind of streams that those harbored, you know. And I really feel that that thing with Streams Ministries with John Paul Jackson was very much a cult.
Yeah, I don't know what that one. I don't know much about that one.
Yeah.
The church, the group of churches from England, and then the churches we were in had similar roots in the shepherding movement and
yep.
the Jesus people, and kind of the shepherding movement was just seems like it lended itself to very authoritarian.
Yeah.
Kind of, and then they had these puritanistic part to it that was, and ironically this group of churches had been involved in the Toronto Blessing and was at one point very charismatic.
Mm-hmm.
But when John Wimber, I guess it was, cut ties with Toronto, so did this group of churches, because if their leader,
mm-hmm.
you know, it was all they were going to support the leader, the mm-hmm. authority, and which I don't even know if it really went down like that. I don't know much about it. But
yeah, it's true. But that's so, it in a nutshell, yeah.
Yeah, so this group of what I call the cult had a history of doing. They also started out Arminian and then became Reform.
Mm-hmm.
But what they had a history of doing was just having a top-down decision, like, we're not going to do that anymore. And they never said, they never explained it. It just changed, and you would show up, and it would be just totally different. And no one would tell you why or what happened or, you know.
Right.
There was no admission of, hey, we were doing it wrong before, if they were, and it was kind of weird that way.
So how long did you last there, and how did you get out of that?
We were there probably 8 or 9 years.
Holy.
And they were extremely patriarchal.
Oh, you must have fit in well there.
I mean, I really did. I don't know how I didn't get myself in more trouble there, but it's like the pastors, because we became small group leaders and, you know,
mm-hmm.
it would list it in the church directory, care group leader, Aaron Morris, and wife. I mean, they wouldn't even, you know, it was really kind of weird when you look back on it. So the women were basically good for sex and babies and cleaning your house.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't allowed to leave worship or teach or preach or, oh, they could cook food.
Yeah.
You know, take care of the kids at church.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I would be the one woman. We go to these meetings, I'd be talking theology with the men while the women were talking about beating their children and shit like that.
Wow.
Am I allowed to swear here?
Yeah, well, yeah. Shit, yeah.
I figured as much, but, you know.
Yeah. And so,
by the time we were getting out of that, I was pretty depressed and screwed up, psychologically speaking.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And how long ago was that when you left that?
That was about a year before I moved back to Canada. That was, I don't know, I've lost track of time. Isaac, my son, he probably about 10 years ago now.
Wow.
Because he was a baby and he just turned 11.
Do you feel you're over it now? Or do you think it has a lasting effect?
I think it had a lasting effect. I don't want to go. We did go to a Vineyard church right after about a year after that, like mm-hmm. kind of sporadically.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like just, the pastor there was just very, very kind mm-hmm. and loving. Mm-hmm. So that was really good for us. But when we moved back to Canada to plant a church.
Yeah.
On our own.
Yeah.
And we kind of did that for a while. And then we just realized people were looking at us like we were, had authority and we weren't comfortable with it.
Yeah.
And then enough things happened in my life somewhere in there that I left it all behind.
Right.
So even the thought of going to church is you know,
mm-hmm.
just probably almost traumatic.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I do know.
We visited a church once since we've been here, and that's because we're pretty good friends with one of the pastors, and he's very unusual. So.
Unusual as in you like him?
I like him, yeah. He comes over and drinks wine with us and
cool.
And swears, and he doesn't believe in hell, and, you know, mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. And he has no problem with homosexuality or any of that. Like, he just, right. he's very unusual.
Wow.
In my experience.
No, I think, yeah, I think that's probably an accurate interpretation. I think it is unusual. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Huh.
No. Yeah, I don't know. It's a long process getting out of all that.
Well, especially when you're in probably the buckle of the Bible Belt down there, aren't you?
Yeah, I get invited to go to church a lot.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but our church is different. You must hear that a lot.
I every time. Yeah. You would like our church.
Yeah.
And I am not interested in stringing people along. I'd say, no, I don't think I would. I don't like any church. I've been commanded to go to church by people I just met a couple hours ago. I've said to them, no way in hell am I going to church. I almost threw up in your church's parking lot kind of thing.
What? Commanded?
Yes. You need to go to church. Oh. Everybody needs to go to church.
Oh, yeah.
You need to come to our church. More than one person has been, like, forceful with me about it.
Wow.
And then when they're forceful, I become kind of adamant. And my husband is like, well, you could just say thank you. And maybe sometime. I'm like, but that's a lie. I'm neither thankful nor is there. I mean, and if there was any remote possibility of me visiting a church, it ended with the command.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. I mean, what if I were to look at them and say, you need to stop going to church.
Yeah.
You have to.
Yeah.
I mean, they'd be upset.
Yeah. So how do you...
And I've said to them also, I'm much better off. I said, all the worst things that happened to me had to do with church, and I don't miss it.
Yeah.
So.
No, I know.
Yeah, yeah.
I totally get it. There's one church Lisa and I visit when we can. But it's like an hour and a half away. It's a vineyard church, and the pastor's very kind and gentle and non-authoritative and very free and, you know, provides that freedom. And, you know, he's gotten into a lot of trouble for it. And we're friends, so we go there when we can. It's not very often, maybe once every couple months or so.
Mm-hmm.
But, it's a very rare thing to find.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Well, it's just, beyond that, even if I found a church that, you know, wasn't offensive or was beneficial in some ways, I just can't relate to the culture of it anymore. I feel now in church, so it's so strange because it was such a part of my life for many years.
Yeah.
So important.
Oh, man.
And to not feel like I'm a, I can't understand what's going on almost. Like, I can, but it just...
doesn't compute.
It's strange. It's
yeah.
Really strange.
No, I know. And, you know, there's worship music going on at this church and, you know, prayers and everything. And I'm just there and I don't let it bother me. But, it's been 6 years since I left the ministry, mm-hmm. so... It's taken a while to get to that place where it doesn't faze me. And I can eat the meat and throw out the bones.
I think the only appeal to me now would be if I really had a closer relationship with certain people that went to that church.
Right.
before ever going to the church kind of thing.
Yeah.
I could probably then go and kind of
mm-hmm.
handle it. For me, it's just kind of almost a waste of time, I guess I look at it as.
Yeah.
I don't feel I get anything out of it, and there's usually something even in a nice place that really is triggering.
Yep.
So.
Yep, for sure. So, deconstruction, say on a scale of 1 to 10 in terms of progress, where do you feel you are on that?
I guess I'm in a place where I'm kind of just, I'm okay with where I am.
Yep.
I'm curious about learning about things that would have been off limits before.
Mm-hmm.
Or I could have learned about before, but not with an open mind, only with a mind to convert people.
Yep.
So.
You're comfortable with your, what we might call spirituality or inner life or whatever?
Yeah, I mean, I don't feel like, it's interesting, just a couple of days ago, I guess, my 6-year-old daughter and I took the dog for a walk, and she started talking about some video game that has to do with Isaac. Like Isaac and Abraham, only it's a very modernized, weird version of the story.
Uh-huh.
So I was telling her the Bible version of the story, and she starts asking all these questions about why are Christians Christians?
Right.
Like, why do they want to be a Christian?
Right.
Why, you know, because she knows her grandparents are Christians, and
mm-hmm.
she knows she can't swear in front of the Christians.
Right.
And, she's asking me all these questions I'm trying to answer. And then the more I answer, the more questions she has. Like, she's like, what is sin? I can't even imagine being 6 years old and not knowing what sin is.
Wow.
And I don't want her to know what sin is from a personal experience.
Right. Like, right.
So I'm telling her, yeah, here's the, you know, the laws that God gave people. Like, here's some of the Ten Commandments. God said don't kill people, but then later he says go kill all the people.
Yeah.
Then she's like, well, what do Muslims believe? And then what about this and what about that? And then she says, why do we need religion?
Wow. This is from a 6-year-old.
Yeah, she says, why do people need religion anyway?
You should ground her. No, I'm only kidding.
Well, she believes in God, and she has her own belief system that I don't know where she gets it from, but she's very not typical for 6. She thinks about all these things. I mean, she lectures me on souls and all kinds of stuff.
Well, that's cool. That's cool. So, I like that.
But it's interesting for me to go, how do I explain this to a kid in a way that isn't
Sunday school?
I'm not trying to give her my opinion. So I'm usually saying some people think this, some people think that, some people look at it this way and...
Yep. Yeah. That's the way Lisa and I were with our kids when they were younger. And even now when they're adults, they're like, what about that? And we'll say, well, let's talk about it. And that sort of removes it from, I'm going to teach you something, to the realm of conversation and discussion, you know? So it, cause I don't feel like I'm an authority on all those things. And that's one thing I'm very passionate about is spiritual independence and autonomy and freedom. So we try to encourage our kids to find their own path. I mean, we give input when we're asked and if there's danger and stuff. But generally speaking, I trust people to find their own way. And it sounds like your daughter's poking around trying to find her own path, even at 6 years old.
Well, she's very. I can't even describe. She just doesn't care what other people want her to think. She's very confident in her own thought processes and
I wonder where she gets that from.
Maybe idealistically so. I mean, she plays the piano and I said, would you like piano lessons? And she's like, why? I already know how to play. So
yeah, that's funny.
Some reality will filter through at some point as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So are you and your husband on the same kind of page spiritually? Whoops.
I would say...
The way you cleared your throat there.
I'd say allergies.
Okay.
I had cough drops in my mouth, too. I would say mostly.
Yeah.
Mostly. I'm very persuasive. I don't think he would like to be to think that that's part of it, but mm-hmm. I think it is part of it.
Yeah.
So when we're everything we've gone through, we have talked it all through and processed it a lot, and
yeah,
you know, together, not separately.
Yeah.
So I guess, you know, I don't know. I think if he had kind of gone off of church and I hadn't, it would have been very difficult.
Yes.
Because I think I'm more intense. Mm-hmm. So if I really believe something, I really believe something.
Yeah.
And there's a few times where he's talked about maybe going back to church because he misses parts of it.
Right.
But I actually think church was really unhealthy for him.
Yeah.
In particular, because he's very susceptible to guilt and manipulation. And I think the parts that he misses are kind of the parts that were an ego boost, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm not going back to church. I don't care what you think. Like, but he'll meet people that, because he's selling cars. He'll meet people who just, even now, like often enough, people, very Christian people, I just have a sense about you and God's not done with you. And he just really feeds into his insecurities.
Like, oh, man.
Puffing him up. And
I know. I get that too. And I wonder too, another danger, I don't know if it's a danger or whatever, but there's some people, and maybe Aaron's one of them, who just have an aura of leadership around them that the church, if he went back to church, I wonder if he would rise again to leadership. Just, you know what I'm saying?
He has charisma.
Yeah, right? Yeah, he has that leadership kind of charisma. Yeah.
People are drawn to him in that way. And
yeah.
They think highly of him without knowing anything about him.
Mm-hmm.
That's difficult for me sometimes.
Yep. But you know what I mean. I mean,
I know what you mean.
I wonder if he would just be able to visit church. You know what I'm saying? It's like me. I would have a hard time.
No, because if people are gonna like stroke his ego, he's gonna dive into that because it feels like people respect you and hold you up and
mm-hmm.
You know, I guess anybody would be susceptible to that to a degree.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean.
And that's why I find it, I'm kind of like you, I find it hard just to visit a church once in a while because when I do something, I dive in, you know, head first all the way, right? I don't like doing something superficially. So it's, yeah, it's an interesting dilemma, really, for me, but and for many people.
Yeah, and I would say the only part of church that's remotely missable for me is community. And in most churches,
yes.
it wasn't a very healthy community anyway.
Yeah.
It was kind of a pseudo community artificially put in place by church systems to make you feel like you had relationships. If you go to these meetings and we ask these questions and we break you up into groups and tell you to discuss this and this, that's a relationship, but it's not really.
No, there's unwritten rules and boundaries and lines.
You can find out pretty quick by leaving that it wasn't a real relationship.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, I know I have friends who've tried to go back to church and they go and then after a while they might miss a Sunday. And then all of a sudden, everybody's on top of them. What's wrong? What's wrong? You know, is something going on? And, you know, the more they go, the more they're expected to get involved and to devote their time and money. And it's just, you know, you just can't, it seems, visit a church, you know. So I think the arrangement Lisa and I have right now is the only one that's going to work for us. But
yeah, well, we used to be, when we would move and visit churches, trying to find which church. It would be like the first time they meet you. They were honest about, once they heard you went to Bible college, it's all over. They're talking about leadership positions and this and that, and we're thinking, you have no clue who we are. We just walked in off the street, and you're going to like turn over the youth ministry to us.
Yeah, but you planted a church. Come on. Anyway.
I don't even know if we told them that.
Oh. Yeah, it's written all over you, though.
And I mean, I just remember when we moved back to Delaware the first time, we were so young, too. I mean, I was probably, what, 20, 21? Mm-hmm. Aaron would have been, like, 23.
Yeah. Crazy, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Hey, listen, we should do this again real soon. I've talked to you about it. I thought it would be cool for you and I to do a podcast where we, you know, just make fun and joke around and stuff. But we should try this again soon. Because I wanted to get your personal story out there a little bit so people could get, you know, this is one of the Meet a Member podcasts. And this went way over what we normally went because you're so talkative. But I'm just kidding.
But you did not give me a time limit.
No, I know. I'm only joking. I'm only joking. I enjoyed every minute of it. But I think it'd be cool you and I try to do a podcast where we pick on issues that are on the internet and just go at it and try it out. Do you think?
That would be fun.
Yeah. Yeah. So what are you taking for allergy medication?
Oh, I usually take a Benadryl before bed.
Oh, man, that knocks me out.
Well, I take it before bed, so I sleep.
So during the day you don't take anything like Aleve or not Aleve?
Actually, I have some Claritin.
Claritin, yeah.
So I have been taking that, but only for like the past week, so it might be actually helping.
The 24-hour or the 12-hour?
24.
Yeah. If things get really bad, I take the 12-hour. That stops my nose from running and my eyes from watering. And then if I get any kind of a nasal headache or sinus headache, I'll take Advil Cold and Sinus. That really helps me too. So, but that's very, very rare.
Anyway. Usually if I take something for a week or two, it's enough to kind of snap me out of the cycle, and then I adjust and all of that. I've been taking vitamin C and some other natural stuff too, so.
Cool.
I will survive.
I will survive. All right.
My mom is coming down to help me move. Woohoo, because I hate moving.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're getting a new house. Is it closer to Nashville or further out?
It's really in the same area because we didn't want to switch the kids' schools. But it is 3,000 square feet.
Holy, isn't that big?
It is big. It has four bedrooms plus a bathroom. So we just have enough people that we need a bigger house, and we're getting it under market value. It has a fence yard, sunroom. It needs some updating, but it's going to be a nice house.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Happy moving.
So you have to come and see it yourself.
I'd love to come down. Yeah, Lisa and I came to visit you guys when you were in Moncton. That was fun.
Yeah.
So when is your move all over? Like, when are you moved in?
I think our closing is May 27th.
Oh, okay. Well, listen, unless you and I talk one-on-one and maybe arrange another podcast.
Okay.
But thanks, Julie. Nice to talk with you.
All right, you too.
Keep in touch.
You too.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.